Talking some more NCAA college basketball tournament. The guy that's going to be on the call out there in San Jose, California from CBS Sports, the college basketball analyst, Len Elmore, now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Len, how you doing?
Doing pretty well.
Wanted to ask you, starting off, obviously you're going to be in San Jose. You're going to be on the call with Wisconsin and Oregon. We just got off the phone with Joey Mack, the voice of the Oregon Ducks. Oregon, a team coming in with a really hot hand right now. How important is it to have a hot hand coming into the tournament?
I think momentum is always good. You play with confidence. You understand what you need to do to win. And, even against a team that you haven't seen before, you recognize that in situations like this that you're best at playing your game, not necessarily trying to adjust to another team. You know, you can scout them and understand what they're capable of doing. But you revert back to your best habits. And I think when you have momentum like that, it's a lot easier to do.
So Oregon comes in a really tough defensive team, not a great scoring team, but a tough defensive team. Badgers are a pretty good defensive team themselves, and they have had problems where they've gone into scoring droughts for long periods of time. And you know as well as I do, in the tournament, you just can't do that. I mean, I know it can come back to bite them, but they've also been a very scrappy team in the Big Ten. So if you got to give an edge, who are you giving an edge to?
I like the idea of a Wisconsin team. Like you said, you can't go into scoring droughts for long, but your defense is the thing that really keeps you in the ball game. And Wisconsin holds people under 40% from the field. They've been doing a terrific job of trying to keep folks out of the paint, and that's important to limit high percentage shots for the other team. So if you're going to go into a drought, have some difficulty putting points on the board, you need that defense to be consistent.
Looking at Wisconsin, obviously Ethan Happ, he's the straw that stirs the drink. But if you had to start looking at guys that are, I don't want to say the unsung heroes, but for lack of a better term, somebody else that's going to have to be part of that supporting cast that's really going to have to step up and be a big-time player for this Wisconsin team, who would that be? Who do you think has to also come up big besides Ethan Happ for this team to get a win?
Well, I mean, this is definitely – basketball is a team game, and definitely one guy should not have to carry you. So, I mean, from perimeter standpoint, I mean, Trice, Davison, those guys have to be able to knock down shots. And, you know, if you're looking for another guy to take some pressure off of Ethan Happ offensively is Reavers, who, you know, they play the inside out very well. If Reavers can knock down some shots, stretch the defense, it takes a lot of pressure off of Ethan Happ. He doesn't have to face the double team. So, I mean, all those guys, you know, have to be working optimally for Wisconsin to advance in this tournament.
Oregon has a really big lineup. We were talking about that earlier as well, and the fact that they can run a point guard out there at 6'2", and the rest of their starters all sitting at 6'9". How difficult is it? Because they pretty much force you to shoot beyond the perimeter.
Yeah, I mean, look, their defense, they do a nice job of getting out and pressuring you. And, you know, they got some shot blockers in there. I mean, kid Kenny Wooten averages about 2 blocks per game. So if you beat the pressure, you still have to contend with a guy in the middle. And you know, their matchups nightmares a little bit. You know, they've got a freshman, Lewis King, 7'1" wingspan, 6'8". You know, they'll post him. White the same way, another 6'9" jump shooter that on the situation where he gets smaller guys guarding him, they'll post them as well, look for high percentage shots inside. So they'll isolate people. They'll do a nice job of getting opportunities for themselves. But again, you know, the best part play is to be able to keep people out of the paint. Wisconsin does a nice job of sagging, but they can also close on the shooters.
Talking with Len Elmore from CBS Sports, the college basketball analyst. The other side of the country we're going to be paying attention to, Marquette, the 5 seed, going into Hartford, Connecticut, taking on Murray State. Murray State, they got some scorers, and Marquette, Marcus Howard with a little bit of a wrist injury. They stumbled down the stretch. We talked about momentum, so how difficult is it going to be for Marquette in a very tough matchup to kind of turn things around and regain that momentum?
It's going to be extremely difficult, particularly when you're facing an explosive player like John Morant. You know, if Marcus Howard can keep Morant occupied, if in fact they face each other, that will help a lot. But, you know, Murray State, from a smaller conference, obviously that, you know, people might tend to overlook them. But I think Steve Wojciechowski, he understands the NCAA tournament, having been there both as a player and having coached in it. But I think, again, it comes down to having to develop momentum. They're going to have to generate – Marquette's going to have to generate their own energy. They're going to have to really come out and play with a lot of confidence against a team that won their conference tournament and has a guy that a lot of people think might be in the top three in the NBA draft.
Hey, Len, has anybody really been able to figure out, I mean, other than just sheer talent, but really the formula for winning or going deep into the tournament? I mean, is it just that you got to get hot at the right time? I've always said you got to be hot, you got to be good, you got to be healthy, you got to be lucky. I mean, all those things kind of come into play. Is that just as basic as can be when you talk about the formula for going deep into the tournament?
Yeah, I mean, unless you have a transcendent player or two that can carry you, I mean, that's the formula Duke is going to have going in. But even then, you know, there are no guarantees. But, yeah, I think being hot, again, as I said, it's about confidence, playing with confidence, being able to match anything the other team throws at you. Certainly being lucky, there are close game situations where a break or two falling your way will certainly happen in these games, and certainly teams are going to be able to capitalize on them. But it still comes down to being consistent on the defensive end, and you know, because that's going to help you weather any type of offensive glitches that you might be able to have. And if you're solid on the defensive end, occasionally get those breaks, you've got a chance.
Talking with Len Gilmore from the from CBS Sports, or Len Elmore from the CBS Sports college basketball analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Now, Len, so it used to be you could just kind of pen in the big conferences. You can't do that anymore. With the mid-majors, they become so powerful in different aspects. Is there a mid-major that you're looking at? Is there a team you're looking at saying maybe a handful of teams that you could say, okay, these teams have legitimate shots at getting there? We all pencil in Gonzaga, obviously, but when you start to talk about some of the mid-majors, we know Utah State's a pretty good team coming into this tournament, even though they're an A seed. I look at what Kansas State has been able to do, Iowa State. I mean, you look at teams like that, and those teams are all really solid teams as well, and then you get to some of the smaller conferences, and they can create some upsets and create some Cinderella stories, but you just don't know how far they can actually go.
Yeah, I mean, but we've seen teams like that. We've seen if at the point in time that they got there, we would consider Butler a quote mid-major. Obviously, mm-hmm. Now they're in the Big East. But this year, I mean, I look at a team like Buffalo that's got a tremendous amount of athletes, and they play with a great deal of confidence. I look at Nevada, who can score with anybody, and they've got experience. Wofford is another one of those teams that, can shoot the ball extremely well. You know, these teams are the types that, when you look at the overall picture in college basketball, the difference in talent between the so-called power conferences and, you know, the so-called mid-majors, the difference is not that great. Again, when you get experience, some of the so-called big conferences have a lot of young players because of the one-and-done situation or, you know, early departures going to the next level. So they remain young and not as experienced. And on the other side, mid-majors that have juniors, seniors, and even fifth-year seniors with a great deal of experience, you know, those teams have a tendency to, you know, do some things that people don't necessarily expect. I recall a Wichita State team a few years ago that went to the Final Four mm-hmm. that, again, had juniors, seniors, and fifth-year seniors. It was their experience as much as their talent that got them there.
Len, I got to ask you, the play-in games, if you will, or the first four, so to speak, look, I understand being a 16 seed and trying to battle your way in and going up against a one seed, but the television ratings they're trying to garner, but is it fair for an 11 seed of Belmont to then come in and take on Maryland and get into that the tournament that way, or an 11 seed of, say, Arizona State or St. John's who play tonight? Is it fair for them to not be – they're one of the better seeds, and then they still have to battle their way into the tournament?
Well, I mean, that's the formula that's laid out there. I mean, whether it's fair or not obviously remains to be seen. Look, if the other 11 seeds don't have to do it, what they're essentially saying is that those are the teams that were essentially the first four in, the first number of schools that were in, and that's really what it comes down to. I'm saying the last four in. And if that's the last four in, but they recognize that at an 11 seed that they're better because of other factors, that's essentially the way that the NCAA has drawn it up. I don't know whether it's fair or not, but, you know, you got to play by the rule that you're given, and I think any one of those 4-11 seeds are happy to be in the situation they're in now, considering the alternative.
Len, great stuff on CBS. We certainly appreciate it. Thanks for a couple of minutes of your time, and we look forward to seeing you down the road, okay?
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Appreciate it, pal. Len Elmore from CBS Sports, the college basketball analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.